Good morning, Redemption. It's good to be with you all and excited to see what God is going to do with us today. In case this is your first time here, I'm Michelle Wong, and I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Church. We have been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and today's message is Empowered by the Spirit. Our passage today is Acts 2, 1 through 21. Before we jump in, I'd like to pray. Father God, I ask that you help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4 first. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. For those of you from a Christian upbringing, you might be wondering, how could they already have Pentecost when the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet? Well, good question. Pentecost is the name of a Hebrew or Jewish holiday also. Pentecost is the Greek word for 50th. It means 50 days from the Passover. The Jewish name for Pentecost is Shavuot. Okay, so there's a Hebrew name, but the reason there's a Greek name is that some of the Jews were culturally Greek. And so that's why Pentecost was being celebrated. It's a festival, a harvest festival. Many Jews from around the world would journey to Jerusalem for this special occasion. So that's why Pentecost was already happening before the Holy Spirit. Okay. Verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. You might be wondering, who are they? So again, some of you know this story, but for those of you who don't, we're going to go to chapter 1 of Acts. And in verse 12, it says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. So in verse 1 in Acts chapter 2, when it says, the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's 120 believers. And that includes the 11 apostles, actually 12, because they chose in Acts chapter 1 a person to replace Judas. So when it says Peter and the 11, 11 plus 1 is 12. Okay, so all of the apostles, the sent ones, were there. And then Jesus's family and some other people who were believers. Why are they in one place? Acts chapter 1, verse 3b through 5 gives that explanation. After his suffering, that's Jesus, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now let's read this section, chapter 2 of Acts, 1 through 4, one more time, now that everything has been laid out. When the day of Pentecost came, they, the 120, were all together in one place, Jerusalem. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. After the wind and the fire, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. We praise God for physical manifestations of his work within us. The text says they were all filled, all 120. Remember, this is a remnant of the crowds from Judea, across the Jordan, Jerusalem, all the places where Jesus had his ministry. They came by the thousands, but now they were down to 120. Some of those, like I said, were Jesus' family members. Things may have felt a little flat compared to the crowds of earlier. But Jesus had told them to wait for the promised gift. And he had been with them for 40 days teaching, it says in Acts. It was a one-day journey from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. So either we're at 40 days past or 41. But they still had to wait for this promised gift. And they didn't know what it was going to be. I think a lot of us know what it's like to wait. Maybe they were tired of waiting. I wonder about that, because when the Holy Spirit comes, it says they were sitting. And we know that, or some of us know that, when Jews are praying, they stand. The awesome thing is that the gift did show up. Verses 5 through 16. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. The gift was given, and the 120 were empowered to break down barriers of language. Verse 6, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. They were empowered to praise the wonders of God, verse 11. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Empowered with boldness, verses 14 through 16. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And empowered to preach. They were empowered to be his witnesses. Jesus speaks of this in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit came from out of nowhere. They had been waiting, but again, they didn't know what they were waiting for. They were sitting, and the Holy Spirit showed up. They started speaking in other languages. They didn't expect that either. Their utterances attracted a crowd. The 120 are so loud, many people can hear their own language. And then the praises of God are able to be discerned. Many people are amazed at this move of God. Some begin to mock. Peter's boldness directs the crowd and begins to explain what happened. Verses 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter quotes the prophet Joel and tells the crowd that they are seeing a prophecy fulfilled. God has poured out his spirit upon young and old, on male and female, on rich and poor. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to do whatever the Lord thinks is necessary. We are empowered to be his witnesses. We all should want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wonder about it. God will direct you. You won't be able to keep silent. He will give you boldness, wisdom, the words to say. He will empower you to break down barriers. How do I know? Well, we see it here in the scriptures, but I also have an example from my own life. When I was a university student, I was visiting the campus of Berkeley, and I came across a man carrying a sign that told people they were going to hell. He was on a large cement stage in a place called Sproul Plaza. There was a crowd heckling him. I listened for a while, and then I felt like God said, "You need to talk to that man." And I was like, "What? Go talk to him." And I thought, what am I gonna say to this guy? And of course there was the angry crowd, but I felt compelled. And so I walked up to the stage, walked across to the man, and I said, "Are you telling people about God's love?" And he looked at me, he dropped his head, and he said no. The crowd was still heckling, but the guy moved on. He walked away. The crowd started yelling at me, and I could hear. They had heard me say to the man, "Are you talking about God's love?" And they started jeering, and a lady said, "God doesn't love me. I'm a Jew." And immediately in my head, I said, or it came into my head, and I just said out loud, "God does love you. The Bible says Jesus died for the Jew first, and then the Gentile." And then somebody else said something, and somebody else, and it kept going like that. But then there was this voice that said, "The church is a bunch of crooks." And I said, "Don't judge God by those who claim his name. Jesus said that many will say to him, 'Lord, Lord,' but he will say to them, 'I do not know you.'" Other voices, other things, and it was rapid fire. And then the voice came again. "The church is bad. They just want your money." His voice was persistent. And I turned to find this man. And I said, "Why are you so angry?" And he said, "Why am I so angry? You want to know why I'm so angry?" And I said, "Yes." He goes, "I'll tell you why I'm so angry." And the crowd was quiet. Some people started leaving. They thanked me on the way out. But this guy started telling his story. He said that his name was Mark and he used to be a believer. That he worked hard in the church and they just used him. He said, "No one cared about me. They just wanted my youthful energy." After about 20 minutes, I told him, "I'm so sorry. That is not what God wanted for you." I guess he sensed my sincerity. The Holy Spirit was working on him. I don't know. But he softened and he said, "You're all right. Don't let what happened to me happen to you." And I said, "All right." When I left that day, I ran across people who had been there and they said, "Oh, we saw what you did." I didn't think about what I did. I didn't know it was going to happen. But I just felt compelled. And God gave me the words to say at the right moment. I continued to pray for Mark. And over the time, I felt at some point that this man had returned to Jesus. I don't believe Mark was his real name, but I do believe that his pain was real and that God wanted him to know that God cared. God calmed the situation. He encouraged and strengthened and chastised some people that day. "You will be my witnesses," Jesus said. We open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and God will do amazing things. Another time I was walking with my family, and I saw a woman that was staggering. She was with a man, and I called out, "Are you okay?" Neither one of them answered. So I called out again, "Are you okay?" Still, no answer. Suddenly, a car drove by very slowly and a woman shouted, "That man hit her." And I said, "What?" She said, "That man hit her with his fist." And I was in shock. And suddenly I felt like I was supposed to do something. So I asked Barry to take the kids home. He says, "What are you gonna do?" I'm like, "I don't know." And I started walking toward the couple. I started shouting at the man to get away from her. And neither one of them seemed to speak English very well. So I just started motioning to the woman and she came towards me still staggering. And when she was close enough, I just grabbed her hands and pulled her towards me. The man started following us and I kept telling him to go away. I pulled the woman with me. We walked for a while. And then suddenly her head cleared and she I asked her, did she want to come to my home? And she said, no, no, thank you. And I said, the man is still following us. And she jumped behind a bush. And I thought, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I invited her again. I said, would you like to come to my house for tea? You can stay as long as you like, and then you can go. I said, I don't think he is going to bother you as long as you're with me. So she started walking. We didn't go directly to my house because I didn't know that guy, right? So we walk, and after some point, I look behind, and he's gone. So then we start going to my house. She still wanted to come. We had tea. We chatted for a while. I asked her, did she know Jesus? She didn't really understand, but I found someone who spoke her language and called them. They told her about the Lord. We prayed for her. And I can't say that she gave her life to God, but I know that she was calm. She knew that she was safe. She had dinner with us. And then she asked, could she call a friend? And she promised it wouldn't be the guy who had been chasing her. And we said, of course. A friend came and picked her up. She got in contact with us to let us know that she was leaving the country. And I shared this story to say that you don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what people's responses are going to be. But I felt God intervene that day, not because I thought it up, not because I thought it was a good idea, but felt like this is something God is doing. Linda shared with us a story about being prompted to ride the bus in a different direction. She was heading to church, but felt like she was supposed to do something else. She met a man who had been in the cold for too long. She felt empowered to keep encouraging him to get up. She was empowered to offer him money for a meal and some coffee. You will be my witnesses. All of these are just different examples of what God might invite you into. You can invite a friend to Alpha. You can get to know your Muslim neighbors that live and work in our community. You can invest in the children's ministry at Redemption Church. You could join the evangelism team at Redemption Church. You will be my witnesses. This is Mother's Day. Moms, you could ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to parent well. You could pray this often and take time to listen. You will be my witnesses. For all of the spiritual moms that God invites you into, you can ask God to be a spiritual mom. You say, Lord, I want to be a spiritual mom. Show me who I should invest in. You will be my witnesses. The things in common are you need to be flexible and open to God's Spirit. He will empower you to be his witnesses. I do want to be clear about some things. God is never going to tell you to do something harmful to yourself, like to kill yourself, literally or figuratively. I don't know all of what kind of things he might say. Some things are familiar. Be generous, forgive, love. Some things might be kind of simple. Open your mouth and speak. Maybe it'll be in a language you don't know. Maybe God is going to speak through you. You will be his witnesses. I would like to take some time just to pray, to ask God to empower us to be his witnesses. Please join me. Lord Spirit, help us to desire to be your witnesses. Help us to be open to doing things that we might not normally do. Bless our efforts to trust you. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Empower us to be your witnesses. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.